Diane, we got hit. There she is. She's still here. Would you like to go? There she is. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So, a little backstory on the text that we have here today. We have what often is called the Beatitudes, okay? In particular, we have Luke's Beatitudes, which are different in a little bit, in some significant ways, than Matthew's Beatitudes. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But a little backstory is just prior to Jesus saying these words in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been wandering around and doing all kinds of ministry, okay? And he has drawn quite a crowd. There are a number of people that have started to follow him. And they call, in Luke, that's disciples, those that follow Jesus. And so there's a bunch that have started to follow Jesus because he's been doing some pretty remarkable things. And he's also, in the Gospel of Luke, already managed to really make some people really angry with him. And just before this text, we have Jesus going up on a mountain, okay, with a number of the disciples, and he chooses apostles, those that will continue his ministry after he is gone. So he's up on the mountain, right, choosing his apostles with a whole bunch of disciples with him. And then today we have Jesus coming down that mountain, and we're told stands on a level ground with all those that have gathered, people from Jerusalem, Judea, Tyre, and Sidon, places that can be very diverse of one another, places of Judaism and places of a bunch of Gentiles. They've all gathered here, and Jesus comes down the mountain and stands on a level place with them. And that's one of the differences from the Gospel of Matthew's Beatitudes. Here we have Jesus standing down and with the people. In Matthew, sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount, this part comes in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is up on the mountain and proclaiming these words, okay? So that's one of the differences, and we'll get back to that at a little bit later. So Jesus comes down and he stands with the people on a level ground. He's with them. And he says this: blessed are the poor. Now, maybe if you're like me, in my head, I automatically add those other words, in spirit, right? And that's the Gospel of Matthew. That's Matthew's Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. But in Luke, it doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that. It's quite plain and simple. Blessed are the poor, he says. That's already making me do that little dog look that goes, huh? Because that doesn't sound right to me. Blessed are the poor. And then he continues, blessed are the hungry now. And blessed are those that are mourning and weeping now. But that just seems to be completely different than what our society would tell us. And in the society that Jesus was in, that doesn't seem to be right at all. In fact, it's supposed to be the opposite of that. If you are poor, that means God has not blessed you. And if you are hungry, that means God has not blessed you. And if you are mourning and weeping, that means God has not blessed you. But here, Jesus simply says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, and blessed are those that weep. And when he says poor, he means the poor. And when he says hungry, it's those that have not eaten for a while. They're hungry. And those that are weeping, they're the ones with the broken hearts. And he's saying, blessed are these people. And then he goes on and talks about, blessed are you when people revile you and say bad things about you on my account. You should leap for joy. How many of you, the last time somebody has just ripped into you, thought, oh, I am just the luckiest person, right? And you just want to go around leaping for joy, calling, guess what? Guess what happened to me today? I'm so excited, and I want to share this. How many have had that? Not me. Nope, not me. But this is what Jesus is saying, and it's a jolt to me. It's a jolt. It's like, what? But then he continues and he says, woe to a bunch of people. And woe, and I saw one place somebody said, how would you translate woe? Is there a better translation to woe? And this person said, the best way to translate woe is woe. Woe. It's like warning. It's a warning. And in our society, in that society that Jesus was living in, it was a society of honor and shame, okay? It's strong emphasis on honor and shame. That's how they built their society, was on honor and shame. And now he is saying, shame to those that are rich. Woe to those that are rich. Warning to those that are rich. And now I'm a little uncomfortable. Because now he's talking to me. And woe to you that are full. Oh, some of you know I just got back from a cruise. And let's just say, if you leave a cruise hungry, it's by choice. I was full. And woe to you that are laughing. And just yesterday, I was laughing. Now Jesus is talking directly to me because I am rich. And I have food in my kitchen that makes me full. And I have laughed. And now Jesus is saying, woe to me. And I have to tell you, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. And I've struggled with this. And I don't know if I like it. And in fact, in preparing for today, I read a number of commentators. And they would say, yeah, I'm going to be preaching on Jeremiah or the Psalm, but not this. Not this. Because my tendency is I want to package it up so we feel good about ourselves when we leave, right? But these words don't make me feel good. And I've struggled with them, and I have a feeling the reason I struggle with them is because they make me feel uncomfortable. And I want to wrap it up and so that when you leave from here, you can feel really good about yourself. But part of me is going, I don't know if that would be faithful to these words. So I'm stuck with being uncomfortable. But I think there's something here that helps. Doesn't take the uncomfortable away for me. But it's one little word. And maybe you caught it at the beginning of the text that we have today. Remember, Jesus had been up on the mountain with a bunch of disciples and choosing apostles, and he comes down and stands on a level ground with. I think that word is significant here. He's not some far and look up, looking down upon. He's not from far, some far off land. He stands on a level ground with. He's standing with the poor. He's standing with the hungry. He's standing with those that are weeping. He's standing with those that are going to have their names thrown into the mud because they follow Jesus. And he stands with the rich, the full, and those that are laughing, and with those that have people saying good things about you. He stands with them. And I think it's important because I don't I don't see Jesus saying that we are, should strive to be poor. I don't think Jesus is asking us to strive to be hungry or to weep. I don't think Jesus is telling us to strive to try to, you know, make a lot of people angry with us. I don't think he's saying that. And I don't think he's saying it's bad to be rich. I don't think he's saying it's bad to be full or have the gift of laughter in your life or have people saying good things about you. I don't think he's saying those things are bad. But what I think I hear Jesus saying, especially as somebody who is rich and who is full and has the gift of being able to laugh about a bunch and people say kind things, I think the gift is that Jesus stands with us and warns us that if that's what you are striving for, if you are striving for that comfort and that security of being rich, and you are striving and that's your main goal, he's saying, woe to you, warning, because it won't last. If that's what your goal is, preserving your comfort with rich and with food, and with people saying good things about you, and with making sure that you feel good. If that's what you're striving for, and that alone, he says, warning, woe, because those things will change. But I don't think he says it with a finger wagging in our faces. I think that word with, on a level ground, says a lot. And as much as internally, the way I blame it on God, the way God has wired me, I want you to leave here feeling good. But again, like I said, I don't think that would be faithful to these words. I don't desire for you to feel uncomfortable either. But I'm feeling uncomfortable with these words because I am in that place of that Jesus is saying, be careful. If that's what you're seeking, to be comfortable, it won't last. And he stands with us. And on this level ground, I think we're invited to stand and know that we're standing with the one that has come down the mountain and come from above to stand with us, all of us, all of us, to bring life that is abundant for all. And if there needs to be a word of warning, there needs to be a word of warning. But it's a word of warning that comes in love with Jesus. And so, if we're uncomfortable, maybe with these words, maybe that's exactly where I need to be. And ask, why am I uncomfortable with these words? Because I have to tell you, when we look at the rest of the world, friends, I'm sorry, we are the rich by a long shot. We are the ones that know that we can get, we'll eat, we'll have lunch, we will have dinner. If we don't, chances are it's by choice. But Jesus is not saying that those are bad things, but Jesus is saying, if that's what your total focus is, and if that's what your goal is, you'll be disappointed. And then he'll stand with us then too. So today, maybe you're uncomfortable like me with some of these words. But know that we have Jesus that stands with us, that warns us of this with love. And invites us to stand with those. And look, on this level ground, that's one of the things I love about Luke. On this level ground, we don't have the privilege of looking down on anyone. We get to look each other in the eye on a level ground. Not as different, but on a level ground. And we get to proclaim to one another that Jesus stands with us. And that Jesus calls us to be mindful of the poor, the hungry, and those that weep, so that we can know a life that Jesus is bringing into the world, a kingdom that Jesus is bringing into the world that can seem like it's upside down from the rest of the world. But it's much more eternal than the rest of the world will offer. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, please hear this. If you are feeling uncomfortable with these words, like I am, may we proclaim to one another that Jesus stands with us and calls us into something that is far more lasting and profound and abundant than any riches or food or good words can ever bring. And may we be faithful to being with Jesus as we move into the future, proclaiming good news to the poor, proclaiming good news to those that are hungry and weeping, and having their names thrown and dragged through the mud because of Jesus. Jesus stands with us, friends. That's good news. Amen.